I've had a lot of comments over the last 2 to 3 weeks from about 4 or 5 different people that have texted me or called me or talked to me. So I'm probably going to stay on Sunday mornings in the same area that I'm going, because I hear time and time again that people want to learn how to read their Bible, or they want to know how to read their Bible, and they get started, and there's some things sometimes don't make sense. So I think repetition is the key. I think knowing where we're at, so when we are away and we are in our Word, we know exactly how to read our Word and how for it to make sense by showing truth and not just what we think it means. This weekend, Joe called me yesterday, and she was at a wedding in Atlanta, and she said it was real traditional. She says it really wasn't bad until the preacher started making comments that they had this candle lit in the middle in the table, and that it stood for in remembrance of those of both families that had lost loved ones that weren't able to be there at the wedding. And I thought, okay, that's, that will light a candle to remember. There's nothing wrong with something being symbolic to remember. I like sitting around and you think of things like Thanksgiving or Christmas time when you're with your family. You remember the stories and the things that go on. I mean, we still make fun of Mom for saying pass the woes. So now every time we have rolls, we call them woes. And so, you remember those things. So they lit a candle, and that's what it was there for. But where you mess up is where you have a preacher that stands up in front of the congregation of about 1,000 people, and he starts telling you what he thinks. And he starts saying, and it sounds beautiful. And so people are oohing and aahing, and they walk away as if it's a truth. This guy goes and he just continues to say that he believes that at this wedding that God just happens to roll the clouds back, and all these loved ones that have gone are down watching and smiling on these people. That sounds really pretty, and I've heard stuff like that before at funerals and things like that. But let me tell you something. There's nothing in the Scripture that relates that to be the truth. And so there you have it. Young people, older people, all kinds of people leaving a wedding, thinking now, at a wedding, God rolls back the clouds for people to watch the wedding. As if that's important. You just can't make stuff up and count it as a truth because somebody thinks that's what's going on. That's where deception starts. That's where the Roman Catholic Church started, on how they felt this word would say this, what they thought God meant, how they think this. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the Word says if you're going to claim it to be perfect and right. And the only way you can do that is if you read it rightly, and if you don't second guess or add to or take away from it. Let's use what we have. And so people today think the Word is confusing to understand because they've remembered through their life all the things they've been taught, and they just mix it all together. Not only that, they'll start in Genesis and they'll go all the way through the Bible in a year, and they think because they've read it all, they know more, but they put it all together as if it all speaks directly to them for their doctrine. And that's just not the case. So it really doesn't matter what we think. The issue is if we think something, we need to back it up by what the Scripture says. If we're going to claim God's Word to be the authority for our life, well, then let's use God's Word. Does that make sense? So you have a beautiful wedding, you have beautiful things that are said, but if they're not true, it's not beautiful. Right? It causes deception. So we need to be careful when we share the Word. We need to be careful when we read the Word. And that's pretty much why we're going through these things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. Those things that were written to Israel compared to those things that were written to the Apostle Paul for our doctrine. Now, another thing that we've talked about is a lot of people will tell you, well, if you think Paul's letters are the most important, which I happen to think that, because Paul says, I didn't say it, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, that he is our apostle. Well, if he says it in the Word, then the Word's either not true and we need to put it up, or it is true and we need to pay attention to Paul's writings. Right? I mean, if it's authority, it's the way it is. And that's in Romans 15:16. right behind it in Romans 15:8, it speaks that Jesus Christ was here for the fathers, for the prophets, to speak to that of Israel. Let's just turn there real quick to begin. Go to Romans chapter 15. So people say, man, you just make too much of Paul. All you talk about is Paul. All you think about is what Paul wrote. Well, there's a reason. And here's what I found out. Today, if we're not making much of Paul, what do the churches make much of? The law, the Ten Commandments, all these things that were given to who? Moses. So if you're not going to make much of Paul, then you're going to make much of Moses. Right? I get tipped when they tell you all these things you need to do, and every bit of it comes from Moses. Well, if you're going to follow and make much of Moses, well, Paul says he wasn't a whit behind the very chiefest apostles who followed Moses. But anyway, let's look at Romans chapter 15 before I get ahead of myself. In Romans 15, verse 8, look what Paul says. Now he says, I say, because it's Paul, that Jesus Christ, okay, pretty clear, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Well, all through the Word of God, as you read, when they leave Egypt, okay, those that came out of Egypt, Israel, even those that said, I'm going with Israel because they saw all the works of God, the grown men and all, what had to happen to them? They had to be circumcised, right? Those that walked out, even before, but those that walked out, if they wanted to become that as of Israel and follow Israel's God, they had to become just like Israel. In other words, the only way in the Old Testament you could get to God is if you became that as of Israel. The only way. Right? Today, all can come to God. Right? But in saying that, Paul says Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Was a minister of Israel, right? And it says, was a minister of the circumcision for what? The truth of God. To prove, to fulfill, to make those things that was promised to Israel come to Israel. So when Christ walked the earth, who did He go to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. We read just 2 weeks ago how He wasn't sent, how He told the disciples not to go to the Gentiles, not to even go into Samaria. Why? Because He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to fulfill the things that God had gave Him to fulfill. And He says, look at verse 8 again. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm, to make the Word perfect, to confirm, to bring truth that what was said was going to happen did happen. To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Well, who were the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Guess what? They were the circumcision. It was to the circumcision, for the circumcision, and as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ goes to the circumcision. Now, Mark, starting next week, is going to do a series before service at 9:30 for Bible study on the Great Commission. Kind of, if you cancel, take what, about 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
It'll be probably when I get here. Yeah.
So, probably when he's in. When?
Till the end of June.
So if you want to come to that, we're going to record it. It'll be great because you'll see what their commission was. But at this point, that's why Christ came. And that's what Paul's telling everybody in Romans. Look, this is why Jesus Christ came. Now look what he says on into the chapter, in chapter 15 and verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. Now, we may make much of Paul, but who does he make much of? Jesus Christ. It ain't that we're worshiping Paul, but he says Jesus came to confirm the promises to the circumcision and to confirm the promises of the fathers. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, what's the difference in Jesus Christ in this period? Well, first of all, has Jesus Christ been resurrected from the dead in the Old Testament? Has Jesus Christ been resurrected from the dead in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Not till the end of the books. The difference in what Paul received and what the other apostles received is they had never seen the risen Christ. When Jesus Christ gave the Apostle Paul his marching orders, guess when he gave them to a man? After the resurrection. So it was even a difference in Jesus Christ. Right? Absolutely it was. So, Paul says that I should be made a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the good news of God, the gospel of God. Well, what was the good news of God? It's the power of salvation unto the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. That Jesus Christ forgave you of your sins, was dead, buried, and resurrected the third day according to the Scriptures. And he says in verse 16 that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified. That means baptized. We talked about it last week. There's one baptism. That's by the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not water baptism today. If you go backwards, you will be in water baptism because it was to the circumcision. But he says, might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The only way that you can be separated by the Holy Ghost is if you have trusted in what Christ did and you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. The minute you trust, that's your baptism. It's the only one that needs to take place that has any significance at all today. I didn't say it. Ephesians chapter 1 says it. One God, one Lord, one Spirit. Guess what? One baptism. So there's not multiple baptisms today for the gospel of God. Because Paul was sent to minister to the Gentiles the gospel of God. So anybody else thinks you need to be baptized, they're not preaching the good news of God. They're preaching the good news of a kingdom that's out of here. That won't take place again until we're out of here, which takes place in the Hebrew epistles. And if you ain't Hebrew, Hebrew ain't to you. So, it's clear what Jesus Christ came for and what Paul came for. They both preach Jesus Christ. One was to the circumcision and one is to you. Let me give you another example where we left off last week. Let's look at one thing that the gospel of the kingdom required that is not required today in order for you to be saved, that people are told is required for them to be saved. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And go to verse 16. Now let's just consider what the Scripture says. Not what people say, well, what they really mean, or what I think it's saying. Let's just consider, let Scripture answer Scripture with itself. You know the best way to answer a question about Scripture? Use Scripture. You can always say, well, the Bible says this. Well, how do you feel about that? Well, the Bible says this. It doesn't matter how you feel. If it's the authority, it's what the Word says. In Matthew 19:16, the Word says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So here's this man that comes to Jesus Christ and says, what must I do to have eternal life? And verse 17 says, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That's an issue. That is a what? A condition that he had to meet in order to receive eternal life. Now, of course, we're in Matthew, and we know the conditions here was under the kingdom program. And so, what's the guy say? He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So he's saying, look, I've done all these things. What else do I lack? Now get this. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. What was the next condition? Sell all that you have, and follow him. There was a condition. This is a rich guy. He was told to give it all up and follow him. There were conditions to belong to the kingdom of God that had to be met. He's to sell all that he had. Well, what happens? He goes away how? Sorrowful. It's clear he's not going to do that. Okay? Consider this scripture passage here. Those of you who believe in salvation by grace. Where's the grace here? It's the fact that if he does a lot, he'll receive it. This guy had to work in order to receive the grace that God is going to give him. And that's the kingdom. Right? Well, today, if we're saved by grace, there's no works at all. Israel had to meet conditions. If you do this, then I'll do this. Christ met our condition. He died on the cross. He abolished the law. They were nailed to the cross. The handwriting of ordinances was nailed to the cross. So the issue with us is to what? Trust in what He did was enough. We need not no other. It's enough. If not, we shadow the cross. Those of you who believe in salvation by grace, then you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to base your church doctrine on those books. How in the world can churches today take you to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, now this is how we need to live, and preach salvation by grace alone? How? But they do it all day long. Right? Think about it. You can't... They're both right, but there's only one doctrine. Think about it. Two things that are different cannot be the same. Right? Well, let me tell you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ Himself that walked the earth told this man what he must do in order to have eternal life. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says, by which you're saved, unless you've believed in vain that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was dead, buried, and rose again. The issue is to trust in what He did. Are they both right? Absolutely, they're both right. But one was for times past. One was to the circumcision, to confirm the promises unto the fathers. And you know what? Those promises have not been fulfilled yet. They will be fulfilled, but in Romans, where we were at, all Israel fell. Those that died in their faith will be saved when we're out of here. Paul's the apostle, our apostle, for our doctrine that we trust in Him through grace. We trust in what He did. We're saved by faith through grace. Whose faith? Yours? Now that's what the rich young ruler had to do. He had to trust in his faith. We trust in Christ's faith. See, he wasn't faithful enough. And just like all of Israel failed, because all Israel had to believe. So we see a difference. Here Jesus is clear what a person must do. Keep the commandments. Go and sell all that you have. Now, honestly, would you tell somebody this today? Now, they'll tell you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is there, but I promise you the preachers will not be behind the pulpit today telling the congregation they need to sell everything they have. Because next week there won't be anybody in their congregation. Guarantee you. You watch a preacher get behind a pulpit with 1,000 members and say, today it's time to put your property up for sale. Because that's what they did. They stopped where they were at and they followed Jesus Christ. And today, preachers will tell you that that's their doctrine, but yet they don't go through with it. Last week we talked about in Mark, it says they shall drink anything that was poisonous and they shall not die. But you don't see people doing that either. But they'll tell you that's their doctrine. They'll tell you that's their commission. Somewhere along the line, the Word has to be divided rightly. And Paul's letters clearly will share doctrine for you today. But you can't mix it. You just can't do it. Or when people read their word, they're going to be confused as they have been for thousands of years. And then they're going to say, well, I can't make of it. This guy must be smart. So they start following the Roman Catholic Church. And then you start having different denominations from the Roman Catholic Church break down all these different... because nobody can just figure it out. And so that's why you have denominations. That's why every denomination that's ever been has started by man. You won't find in the Word of God denominations. And those that were the Sadducees and Pharisees and the hierarchy, those are the very ones when Christ walked the earth rebuked. I love these churches that think they're awesome because they're so big and they have so much entertainment. But that's the very place Christ would go in and He would just deal with them. Because Christ hates religion. Religion's from man. You show me a religious person, I'm telling you, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, even if it's 10 years, sooner or later, He'll say, I can't do it. He'll walk away from it. Religion will take you further from Christ than it'll ever bring you closer. And the issue is why? Because you're taught all your life that all the Word is your doctrine. Well, I don't see us sacrificing animals. I don't see us concerned with what we eat. Well, those are dispensations. And we're in the dispensation of the grace of God that was only given to the Apostle Paul. And so you can't take other books in the Word and say they're for you. Because it's not your mail. Now, is it important for us to know them? Absolutely. Because that's how we can prove that Paul was our apostle, by knowing him. If you believe what the Bible says, where it says it, and to who it says it, you wouldn't tell somebody that verse in Matthew will lead them to salvation. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Notice what Paul says. Romans 7 verse 5. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7 verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. You know what the law brought? Death. It showed you when you saw it, I can't do it. I can't keep being religious. And I see by looking at the law that I'm nothing but a sinner. Because when I look at it, I know if I've done any of those things, I have failed. And Paul says, look, by the motions of what you do in your members, what your body does, what your hands do, what your feet does, what your mind does, everything your eyes see, you can't be perfect. And Paul says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now what's the next two words say in verse 6? But now. So, if I've said it 100 times, if I said, hey, I like your hair, but chances are I don't like it as much. You know, hey, you've lost some weight, but kind of means you haven't lost enough. Right? So, but changes everything. And so Paul says, but now we are delivered from the law. Well, if Jesus Christ in Matthew told that young man to do what? To follow the law. And Paul says we're delivered from the law. Which one are we going to do? Well, Paul was taught by the risen Christ. Right? So why would we go backwards in time to follow what Jesus said, the red letters in Matthew, if what was given to Paul was after the crucifixion? That's insane, ain't it? If things change, things as they progress in life, are we going to go back and start riding a horse and carriage and throw away all the cars because it was right back then? Well, that's stupid. But people will tell you that in church, to follow the law, and Paul says we're delivered from the law. Come on. But all our life, we read through the Word that all this is for our doctrine. Well, if it is, then we need to take care of the things that contradict each other. The Word has no contradictions. But when it's not rightly divided, I can show you contradiction after contradiction after contradiction. One week a preacher will tell you, you need to do all this stuff. And the next week he'll talk to you all about grace. And the next week he'll go to another book. You know what? I mean, he don't make sense. And that's why people are confused. But Paul says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. So he even divides two things just in these two verses. What did our members do? Our members have to do with what? Our flesh. It's physical. It's something we do. When we grow up and we try to follow the law, we can't do it. And when we look at the law, we say, oh my gosh, I've done this with my hands. I've done this with my feet. I've done this with my... Everything's physical when it comes to Israel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, condition, condition, condition. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. Paul says, this is what? In the same verse, you have the word dead. But then Paul mentions what? Newness. Why? Because Christ took care of the law, didn't he? Paul mentions newness, and in the same sense he mentions spirit, right? And he mentions life. Today, the issue in our dispensation of grace, and why Paul is our apostle, is because Christ abolished death. We don't have to worry about the physical things we have to do anymore. Instead, we have newness of life because of Christ. We're baptized in the Spirit. We don't need any other physical baptism. The Holy Spirit did it because it's spiritual, not physical. And not only that, it's newness of what? Life. That's why we talk, the Apostle Paul mentions what? I'm a what? New creation. Right? Paul never mentions born again. See the difference in the physicality? New creation, the Spirit did it. But all through your life, if you walk down in the Tennessee temple, they tell you got to be born again. You can't do it. It can't happen. Israel, when we're out of here, and the promises that were made to the forefathers about a kingdom, guess what? Israel will be born again. That's why the Scriptures make sense in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But they're not your Scriptures. Instead, you're saved, you're sealed the time you believe immediately. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's what Paul says. In newness of life, when I came to the point and I realized that Jesus was the Messiah, that He died for my sins, that He was crucified, dead, buried, rose again. I count on that for my salvation, knowing I need nothing else. I'm baptized by the Holy Spirit. I know it because I know who I am within myself. And I don't need to do anything about it. Let me tell you what. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you couldn't do it. You'd go to hell. But all through the church today, they'll tell you that's what you need. Well, you know what? I'm going to follow the writings of Paul because he preaches the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow those things that are in times past, you're not going to look at but now. Then you need to get you a horse and carriage. You need to put the Ten Commandments. Honestly, you drove too far today because it would be the Sabbath. No, honestly, that would have been yesterday. I mean, if you're going to follow part of the law, you have to follow all of the law. Or you're guilty before God. And you can't do it. Israel couldn't do it. And that's why they failed. Why did they fail? For our salvation. We might as well go to Romans 11. Romans 11. Look at verse 11. Romans 11:11 says, I say then, now this is Paul, he wrote Romans. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto who? the Gentiles. Because Israel failed, you know what? Nobody had to go through Israel anymore. No men had to be circumcised anymore. No men had to follow the law anymore. No ladies had to live the way that those ladies lived in times past. Everything had changed. He says, because of their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. What's it for? For to provoke them to jealousy. Christ died on the cross so all Gentiles could be saved. Now think about it. Israel's worked through, ever since they became Israel, they worked and 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 they worked. And they had to die in their faith in order for them to be saved. And all of a sudden now the Gentiles can be saved and they ain't got to do nothing. Would that not tick you off? You think of the heritage and what your forefathers had to do, and all of a sudden now Christ says, no, all can be saved. So because we can be saved, that would provoke Israel to become jealous, and they better believe who the Messiah was. So as they failed for our salvation and to make them jealous so they would believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Because what was their problem the whole time? They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And so they crucified him. It fits perfect with what Paul says. By the way, this is not written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because he hadn't died yet. By the way, that's why I get so tickled. Everybody calls Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the New Testament. If you look in your Bible, it says New Testament. That's not New Testament at all. They still followed the law of Moses. God didn't write New Testament in your Bible. Man put that in there. Hebrews is clear that there has to be the death of a testator before a New Testament can even begin. But yet, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in your Word, when you open it, and it starts Matthew, it says what? New Testament. It's not New Testament at all. But that's deception through the years in what man has done. But Paul says here, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Look at verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. You going to tell me we shouldn't make much of Paul? He calls it his office. He says, Paul makes it personal himself. Paul calls it my gospel. It was his good news to give. He goes, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. You know what Paul's hope was? That when the Israel, who he was Israel in the flesh, he was raised as a Jew, right? And his hope was that when the Jews would see that all the Gentiles could be saved by his office, that even some of him in the flesh would be saved. He wanted the Jews to be saved. He wasn't bashing the Jews. He wasn't bashing Israel. He was wanting them to become jealous and to take his message to be saved. Because they couldn't be saved any other way. Israel as a whole had fallen. So if you continue to read that, you'll see these things that Paul wanted them to see. We are free from the law, according to Paul in Romans. You cannot take the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and apply it to the church today. We should be familiar with these passages. And the only way you can be familiar is to study. So you know what? It does you no good to come here every Sunday if you don't study. You won't get it. We need to study and know these things. Because all across the world, all across America today, people are in churches. And I love my mom. Love her. But they're in churches and they got entertainment today. And they're all talking about their moms. And I think we should recognize our moms. But when we're in a body of believers today, when there's a church that has a bunch of people thinking they're doing God a big old favor by going to church, what needs to be shared more than anything and what's more important than our moms is our salvation. They have a great opportunity to share the truth, but they can't because they don't know the truth. And so they're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're talking about somebody's mom today. That's what they're doing. I did it for 20 years. Okay? That's what they're doing. Don't you think it's important for you to know the Scripture so they can see the truth? Because they're not going to get it in the fraternities or the clubs. And that's where they're at this morning. Right? That's exactly where they're at. We should know that those books have to do with the kingdom. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have to do with the nation of Israel. Promises that are to be fulfilled, but not in this dispensation of grace. We are not under law. Don't let anybody tell you you're Israel, because you're not. The gospel that they had in times past, not the but now, included water baptism, repentance, and keeping the law. Yours does not. You're saved by grace. We got a reason to rejoice in knowing that we know this, not because somebody said it, but because the Word says it. In closing, look what happened with this young man. In verse 20 of Matthew it says, "The young man saith unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If that will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Well, you can continue to read the rest in 22 and 23 and see what happens. He failed just like Israel did. And everybody else failed too. Would you tell someone today that they had to forsake all to be saved? It's not necessary. Today you have to believe that Christ died for your sins, was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again the third day. All you need to do is simply trust in that for your salvation. That's it. The kingdom gospel required selling out. It required total commitment and discipleship. Remember, Jesus is the one who said, "Forsake all and follow me." I didn't say it. But we're not part of the kingdom gospel. We're part of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to Paul. And it was kept secret since the world began. That means if Paul says in Romans 16:25 that it was kept secret since the world began, that means nobody could know it before Paul. And it was given to Paul after the resurrection. The apostles got no instructions except to continue to do what John the Baptist did after the resurrection. Paul was given a dispensation. How you're saved.